Let's talk about books.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I am good. I am ready to talk about a lot of books.
That's good, because I think we're going to talk about a lot of books today.
And just talk about a lot of books today. Normally we have
only books.
Normally we have some sort of other topic, but we've sort of fallen
a
little behind.
It's just books today, y'all.
Yeah, we're a little behind on a lot of books we've been reading, so we're just going to catch up and talk about a ton of books.
We've been talking about too many other things and not enough books, so this week, it's all books. And on that note, Sarah, tell me about what you've been reading that you're super excited about.
So I want to talk about The Lady from the Black Lagoon by Mallory O'Meara.
Which I am so happy you're talking about, because just as a quick aside before you dive into how much you love this, I finished this one recently too. You recommended it to me.
Yes.
You had just started it and you were like, Rachel, have you heard about this book? And I was like, yes. And you were like, okay, but have you read it yet? And I was like, no. And you were like, read it and do it on audio. And it was one of the best recommendations ever.
Yes. So this book is a biography of a woman named Millicent Patrick, who you probably have not heard of for a lot of reasons.
But you've probably heard of what she did.
She designed the creature from the Black Lagoon. That was her.
Yeah, that creature.
So, and this book is all about, it's about her life and sort of her journey to doing that, and then why she was sort of lost to obscurity for so many years. And it's also about the journey the author took into discovering what her life had been and what had happened, because no one knew anything about her.
Yeah, it gave me some The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks vibes, in the way that it sort of did that dual narrative about this historical person whose story hadn't been told, and also the journey of the author to uncovering that story.
And speaking more about the author and why I particularly recommend the audiobook, Mallory O'Meara is the host of a podcast, so she's good at recording and she does a great job narrating. She's the narrator of her own book. She does a great job. It's so interesting to listen to.
Yeah.
And I super recommend it as an audiobook.
Yeah, she does a really fabulous job. And it's also just such a fascinating story.
It is. It's super interesting.
Like, Millicent Patrick had a crazy childhood. She was also one of the first female animators for Disney. And then the story of also how her life kind of got buried was just crazy.
Yeah, it's a really good book. Even if biographies aren't really usually your thing, this is a very well-written biography, and I think most people would enjoy it.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
So tell me about what you've been reading.
So I've been reading a lot of good books lately too, including The Lady from the Black Lagoon, but to move on and discuss another book that I really loved, I recently finished We Set the Dark on Fire by Taylor K. Meha, and it's a book that had been on my radar for a while, so I was really pumped to get my hands on it. Shout out to the library for having it in stock. And it's this really cool Latin American inspired sort of dystopian novel. I think it's going to be a series. Yeah, it's going to be a series, but this is the first novel in the series. And it's about this island community where there's this very strongly delineated hierarchy between the haves and the have-nots. And it follows Daniela Vargas, who's a student about to graduate from the Medillo School for Girls, which is the school that prepares young women to be married. And they become either the first wife or the second wife, hopefully, of a prominent young man. And in Danny's case, she's going to be marrying a son of one of the most prominent politicos in the country. So it's like a very big deal. Because the other thing I didn't mention is that Danny's papers were faked. And she doesn't actually have the pedigree, the background to be at this school. She's actually like an undocumented immigrant, basically, to this community, because there's obviously some strong parallels to some of the current issues going on really in a lot of places, but including the United States. And on the night before she graduates, she's approached by some rebels who basically threaten her and tell her, we're either going to expose you for not having the proper documentation, in which case you're going to be sent to jail, or you work for us. And so she's really torn, because she's also worried about her parents, you know, who put everything on the line to allow this life for her. And at the same time, she does see, because, you know, she grew up in a very different circumstance, she does see how unfair this is and how awful the situation is. I can't say too much more than that, I don't think, without giving things away, but it's kind of about her journey to figuring out where her loyalties lie and how to handle this new situation of being a rebel and also at the same time pretending to be this very stoic wife of this politico who's definitely not a rebel but secretly is, but also has kind of been forced into this position. So it's a really, really great book. I highly recommend it.
It sounds really good.
So what else have you been reading?
So I actually read this a while back, and we just, like, with our recording schedule, I hadn't talked about it yet, but I read King of Scars by Leigh Bardugo.
Yes, because you are taking literally all of the books that I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Lady from the Black Lagoon. I wanted to talk about King of Scars because I finished it like 3 days ago, but whatever.
Yep, I took them. I wrote my books down in the notes first, so I get them.
You're unwrapped. In fairness, you read them first, so I was going to let you have it, but
this is the series. It's We're Back in Ravka in Leigh Bardugo's sort of Grishaverse universe. And this is the first book that focuses on Nikolai, who we meet in her first trilogy. So we're back in Ravka with Nikolai and Zoya and Nina learning more about the Grisha.
Well, Nina's not in Ravka.
Okay, Nina's not in Ravka. She's somewhere else, but she is a POV character in this book. We get a lot of yes. Nina. And it's great. Nina's sort of spying on behalf of Ravka. That's sort of how she shows up in the book. And it's really sort of diving further into the Grisha and also some of the stuff we've learned about in the Six of Crows duology, where now we have, like, Judah Parham, which messes with Grisha powers, and all
and
these other things
like
that are,
like, mechanical, experimented on Grisha people. I don't remember what they're called.
Yeah. They're sort of like,
you know,
they're
like the agents from Navizium.
Yes. It's great. It's really exciting to read more about these characters and sort of see the direction this world is going. And it ends on a huge cliffhanger.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I will also say, just to throw in a little more, since I've also read this book and really enjoyed it, one of the things I thought was so great about it, especially having read Six of Crows a few years ago and then having just read the Grisha trilogy, I thought it was really cool because you got to go back, like Sarah said, to Ravka and to Nikolai and to all these characters and sort of plot lines and themes that I think were so great in the original Grisha trilogy, like really focusing on the Grisha. But then I feel like Leigh Bardugo's writing and storytelling abilities have grown a lot since then, just because she's been doing this for so much longer. So you kind of get back to some of these original plot lines and characters and storylines and things, but at the same time her writing is so much more heightened, like on the level or even above when she was writing Six of Crows. So it's kind of this beautiful blending of the worlds almost, and I really enjoyed that about this one.
Yes. So if you haven't read the Grishaverse trilogy or the Six of Crows duology, you should definitely read all of those books and then start on King of Scars, because there's just
yeah.
a lot
and
of great
I
books
say,
to read.
Like, you can read Six of Crows without having read the Grisha trilogy. I actually read the Six of Crows duology first, and I think that's not uncommon, but you definitely need to have read both before you read this.
Yes. Those two, I read them in a super weird order. I read Six of Crows, then I read the whole Grishaverse trilogy, and then I read...
Then you read Crooked Kingdom?
Yeah, then I read Crooked Kingdom, because that's... My library didn't
that
have
is
it yet, so I had to wait.
That's like some weird version of the Star Wars machete order, but, like, for Grishaverse.
I will say, it was... I think it was a good choice, because you don't need to know much about the Grisha novels for the Six of Crows. It's a little
true,
handy
but
to know more about the Grisha for Crooked Kingdom.
True.
So
I'm saying, there might be some merit to that order.
Yeah. It's a pretty good order. You know, you can
we'll
read it in every order.
The Sarah order for the group of books.
Yeah, so tell me what other book you've read recently.
So the other book I'm going to talk about is actually a book I am still in the process of reading because it's a chunkster. It's a big one. But it is Black Leopard, Red Wolf by Marlon James, which some of you may have heard about. It's been fairly hyped. But anyway, it's the first book in a new epic fantasy series. So now you can see why I'm saying I'm still working on it. It's a big book. And it's, how to explain this quickly without without getting in too deep. Okay, so basically, I guess the short way to get to the premise is it's about this character named Tracker, who, along with a group of other people, is tasked to go track down this boy who has been lost. But on the way, all of these people are coming after them, and all of these events are happening that kind of lead them to start wondering, who is this boy exactly, and why have they been sent after him, and is there something more going on? And then amidst the backdrop of this, because I say that's the main storyline, but I should also point out that I didn't get to that part of the storyline until about 30% of the way through the book. And I'm not much far past that yet. So, like, there's a lot of other stuff that happens. And it's also dealing really heavily with the various lands and civilizations that they're in, all of these ancient cities that they're traveling through, and kind of how Tracker came to be who he is by the time that he's sent on this mission. Because one of the big things about him that makes him so valuable as a tracker is they say, like, basically, quote unquote, he has a nose, which means he has this incredible sense of smell, and he can basically track people based on their sense of smell, and will just know what's around him from his sense of smell. And it's a really interesting book. It gives me some Wise Man's Fear or Name of the Wind vibes.
Yeah.
In the sense, A, epic fantasy, obviously. And I think initially it was getting maybe some Game of Thrones comparisons. I don't remember. I could be making that up. It's set, by the way, I didn't mention this, kind of African-inspired mythology is very much influencing this fantasy land that James has created. And it gives me some Patrick Rothfuss vibes in the sense that it's a frame story, right? So you've got an outer frame, which is how the story begins. So usually what that means is there's kind of a narrator. And then you've got the inner frame, which is the actual story, like the plot line, what we're seeing. So we get the same thing in The Name of the Wind, where he's telling you the story of, you know, how he went to university and how all these things happen. And in this book, Tracker is actually in prison in, I guess, the current time. And he's explaining, we don't exactly know who, but it's some kind of inquisitioner. He's explaining everything that happened on this journey to this guy from prison. So obviously we know some bad things go down, but so you and it also in the sense that it's kind of rambling and meandering. Like, there's a lot of that too. As I said, like, we didn't really get to the main plot until 30% of the way through. So I'm not far enough in yet to, like, really, I would say, pass down judgment on it. It's definitely a big undertaking. So anybody, I would say, who's not into high fantasy and doesn't like long books is probably going to be more of a challenge than you're interested in. But it's definitely a cool book. I'm interested in it so far, so I'm definitely going to keep at it.
Awesome. So this is the point when we would usually talk about our main topic.
But we're not talking about anything else this week.
So we've decided that we're going to go rapid fire through a bunch of books you've read recently.
Yeah, we're going to try to really quickly recount a bunch of the other books that we've been reading. And, like, I don't know, what do you think? How do you want to do this? Do you want to do, like, no more than three sentences to describe the books?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Okay, and then we're just gonna see how many we can get through.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Are you ready for this? Because you're gonna start us off, and this is gonna be crazy.
Okay.
Okay. All right, do this. Go.
Okay, I'm gonna talk about An Extraordinary Union by Alyssa Cole, which is a historical romance set during the Civil War. It subverts a lot of the standard Civil War literary tropes that you read in a lot of classic novels like Gone with the Wind. It's really sweet. If you like Alyssa Cole, you're going to love this super fun book. Go.
I think that was at least six sentences. I just want to say.
It was like four.
I counted. It was six.
Whatever. Go.
Okay. And The Ocean Was Our Sky by Patrick Ness is a novella that's kind of a Moby Dick retelling, except instead of humans, they're whales. And so the ocean is literally their sky, and they're hunting, what's his name?
Ahab.
Type character, except that's not his name, and it's super weird and interesting, and I loved it.
Educated by Tara Westover is a memoir about a woman whose family had a very extreme set of beliefs that led to her receiving no education until she decided to go to college. Super interesting talk about her life and what education means to her. Just a really solid memoir.
Love it. Okay. Heretics Anonymous by Katie Henry a YA novel about a young atheist boy who winds up getting sent to Catholic school after his family moves. He gets involved with this group called Heretics Anonymous that includes a good Catholic girl who wants to be a priest, which obviously Catholic girls aren't actually allowed to do at the moment, and a gay Jewish boy, and a Wiccan girl, and like all these other people, and they're kind of trying to have some insurrection, I guess, to change some of the ways that the school works that they're unhappy with. And it's really interesting and has a lot of complex discussions of religion and belief.
The Wedding Date by Jasmine Guillory is a contemporary romance that feels super, super real. You get both characters' perspectives and all their insecurities, and it makes it feel like a real romance. This has sort of made Jasmine Guillory one of my favorite contemporary romance authors of the moment.
Okay, next one. Hurricane Child by Karen Callender is a middle grade novel about a little girl born during a hurricane, thus Hurricane Child, on Water Island in the Caribbean, and it's kind of considered a curse if you're born during a hurricane. Her mother's left, so now she's living with her single father, and she's interested in tracking down her mother, and it's just kind of this. And she also thinks she's being haunted by ghosts. Kind of just a very lush, magical realism middle grade novel.
On the Come Up by Angie Thomas is her second novel.
Yes.
We're back in Garden Heights. This time, it's all about Bree, who is an aspiring rapper, and just trying to sort of find her way navigating her goals and her family. It's wonderful. It's not a sequel to The Hate U Give, but because it's set in Garden Heights again, you get a lot of similar vibes, and she's definitely sort of continuing on similar themes here. It's an awesome book.
Okay, last book I want to talk about, The Only Harmless Great Thing, sorry, it's a hard title, by Brooke Bolander, which is a novella from Tor, who does a lot of great novellas. We're discussing one next month. Yay. No. Yes? No. When did we discuss that book? We're discussing that book next. This is good. That's the book we are discussing later this month, The Black God's Drums, also a Tor novella.
Future Rachel here, breaking in for just a second to say that actually, The Black God's Drums is the book we discussed last month that you may have already listened to. And if you haven't, it's a really great book, and you should. But this is what happens when we record out of order. We're always confused. Okay, back to the episode.
Okay, wow, that did not count as part of my three sentences. Also, not that we're really counting at this point. We're doing real bad. Okay, anyway, The Only Harmless Great Thing by Brooke Bolander is this really insanely inventive alternate history novella. I've never seen anything like it before. It mixes together the story of the true stories, separate true stories, of the Radium Girls and Topsy the Elephant, who was publicly electrocuted at Coney Island. And it's kind of mixing in their stories with the idea of like autonomy and the things we do to people and creatures who maybe don't have the ability or the say-so to really stand up for themselves. And in the book, the elephants are used to work with the radium in the watch factories, and they're also sentient elephants who are able to communicate through their own form of sign language. And it's also about this woman who's a translator who's trying to negotiate with them, and it's just super weird and super fascinating. All right, wrap us up here, Sarah.
Okay, the last book I'm going to talk about is Becoming by Michelle Obama, which came out quite a while ago, but library's waitlist was very long, so it took me a while to get a copy of it. It's just a memoir of Michelle Obama's life. Super interesting. The first half really focuses on her childhood and sort of her life before Barack Obama got into politics. The second half is all about her life as the First Lady. I thought both halves of the book were super, super interesting, and I strongly recommend reading it. I haven't really read another book like this that gives you such a clear look into what it's like to actually be in the White House and be the First Lady. It's a really great book.
Seconded, because also just Michelle Obama is amazing.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that is going to do it for this episode, where we have told you about so many books. So I don't know. If you haven't found at least one to add to your TBR, I don't even know. Either we've done something wrong or you're doing something wrong.
I think we talked about 13 books.
Did we? I wasn't even keeping track of how many sentences we were doing after the one time I called you out.
Yeah, there's a lot of books, and I think it was fun to get to talk about so many ones we've read recently.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to give a big thank you to Sahara Sky for the use of our theme song, Never Long Time Goes By, from the album Escapism.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet at unassignedpod over on Twitter, email us at unassignedreadingpod@gmail.com, or check out our website, unassignedreadingpod.com.
We'll be back later this month with our anniversary episode, the one you all voted for, The Kiss Quotient by Helen Huang.
It's a book we both love, and we can't wait to discuss it with you all. Now go read some books.